Okay, it's 7 p.m. And do I hear a motion to begin the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. First thing on the agenda, Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anybody in the audience or one attendee have anything they want to talk about this evening?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. First thing on the agenda after that is the commissioner assignments. I'm just going to make a broadcast opening. Is there anybody objecting to leaving everything the way it is? If anybody wants to make a change, please speak now, because I'll be wanting to hear a motion. By the way, I do have a statement from Linda stating she would like to leave it the same. Linda's not really going to come out in this kind of weather, and I don't blame her. So, do I hear a motion to just leave all the assignments the way they are?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mopin. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Unanimous. All right. Moving right along. We had some corrections to the city meeting minutes that were reissued this morning. Is there anybody that wants to make additional corrections? The new one's all posted on the website. So if there's no additional corrections, do I hear a motion to accept the minutes with the corrections that were made this morning? Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. City's financial reports for December 2023. They were emailed out on Friday. Did anybody see any corrections that need to be made? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the December 2023 financial reports?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Mulpin. May I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Unanimous two. All right. The reimbursement documents going around. Next is old business. Does anybody have any old business other than the ones I've got mentioned?
I wasn't here in December for the December meeting, but I just wanted to say on the record that Evergreen Irrigation called me back and said that there was no leak to our water meter.
Okay.
So I did want to ask if you've done anything or gotten anywhere with the water company on that.
Haven't gotten anywhere. You call them and they just ignore you.
Yeah.
Okay. I figure if my suggestion on that is that come spring, remind them not to turn them on until we direct them to. Okay. I know they want to do it on their own, and that becomes a problem. All right. The request or the posting for the welcome ambassadors, still haven't heard anything. The green space litter problem, it must be solved, because I just picked up the two bags that were out there and finally had enough to put it in my trash bin. So that they have two new bags out there. And the emergency communications equipment check. Where is that?
Channel 4.
Channel 4 tonight?
Yes.
All right. We're going to be Channel 4 on the radio checks tonight. Please remember to turn them on and do it. All right? I'm just as guilty as the next person, okay? All right. New business. Dan would like to get out of here a little bit. What did you say, 20 after or so?
7:30.
So I want to go over this, some information, and then I'll ask for any new inputs. Okay? But this is quite impressive, and I wanted to make sure everybody saw this, and I wanted to make sure Dan was here to talk about it, in case I couldn't answer anything. But Dennis and I were at his office, or I was, I can't remember what it was, but anyhow, he happened to mention that our delinquent property tax...
Are we talking about Dan's office?
Yes, Dan's office.
I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
The property tax delinquencies have substantially decreased since 2018. And if you'll notice on the spreadsheet which Dan prepared, when we took over in 19, we were at basically around $68,000 on delinquent property tax. And now, as of the 15th of this month, it's down to $20,304. Now, that does... Some of those people, some of that money is from the same people. You know, we've got $9,299 that are delinquent as for this year. But some of those properties are duplicates or are continual problems. I'll put it that way. Okay?
Distronic.
Yeah. Am I saying that right, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I wanted to show you how much of an improvement we've done staying on top of this, which I'm happy to say has been really a chore, I'll put it that way, especially this year. And this is the next thing I want to bring up. We have come across a couple of issues on the property tax mailing, and that is that in June we get closings on property. Our tax bills are printed right after we send the PVA our property tax past ordinance, and it usually she doesn't waste any time getting the tax bills out. And with us doing it in mid or the mid May or the last part of May, we're usually getting these property tax bills already printed with the owner at the time of the spreadsheet. And we're not having any means, or they're not getting notified. And in one case that I'm going to bring up is 4423 Bay Garden Court. We got a CRC about the time we got the tax bills requesting tax information only for 2022. And we verified, Dan and Ben sent Dan and me a copy of that CORC, which is a commercial open records request contract that we require to have filled out. And it didn't specify having anything for 2023 tax bills. So they got sent information on the tax bill being paid. Well, they closed on that property on June 29th. The mailing of our tax bills went out June 30th. So they ended up on our delinquency list because when the tax bill got mailed, it got mailed to the previous owner who probably put in a change of address, and then they didn't forward it back or do anything to make sure that the new owners got a copy of the bill. So that's been going on, And so...
So the seller thinks they don't have to pay it?
Well, the sellers are having a little disagreement with our attorney. So they're dealing with it. We've given them all the documentation. We've given them the exhibits. They have it all in hand, okay? Personally, I feel like it's the title company's fault. They're the ones that didn't. They just don't take our CRC serious. They just send it in and do it just to get it over and done with, okay?
I thought that's what title searches was.
Yeah. Well, there's another property. I think it's also in Bay Run that was the same problem. It was closed on in June, and the 2023 taxes weren't asked for. I don't know what's come of that because I haven't heard anything. This one, the Bay Garden one's been the worst. We've had constant back and forth on emails during the latter part of last month. So how we're going to handle it, we need to be aware of it, okay? And so we may have to approach this a little bit different, but we don't get any information. The problem we have is we don't get information on the closings. All we get is information that somebody's looking to buy a house. So this becomes an issue, okay? So what we might have to do is, after we mail out the mailings, is if we get any or had any CRCs, see if, you know, follow up and see. But then again, I think we need to impress upon these people, or maybe, damn, would it be appropriate to go ahead and include the upcoming taxes, even if they don't ask for it?
Yeah, it can.
Okay.
I mean, to me, it seems stupid that anybody would go to closing and not have tax information as part of the closing. Unless you had the closing on December 31st, you're responsible for some of the closing. So I don't know why a title company wouldn't. I think what they do is they asked what the previous bill was, and then they typically just use that as an estimate, and if it's off a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they didn't include.
Well, see, that's my problem, is they really can't do that because they is a title insurance requires them to get the most accurate information. And making an assumption is what it is.
Well, the most accurate information, I think, if you don't know what the current taxes are, the most accurate information would be the previous year's taxes.
Yeah. If we don't have them, that would probably be true. But once we get them, I think it's just going to be appropriate just to include it, even if they don't ask for it. So... But we'll continue to talk about this in the coming months. Okay, we'll come up with a plan. Because I want this year, when we do the do this in April or May, I'm going to ask Mr. DeWeese to be here so we can make sure that we don't have these stumbling blocks like we've had. This is the first year we've used them. And there's been issues that, you know, having not done it before with him or not had a protocol arrangement, it's really, we've had a couple of hiccups. And it's not necessarily been our fault. It's just that I don't think they've dealt with the city before, but I may be wrong. Okay. I know they've dealt with an HOA.
Right. I think he specifically said this would be his first.
Yeah.
That he's wanting to move into that.
Well, I'm hoping.
Arena. So,
I'm hoping he's not thinking of in the worst part scenario. I would like to keep him on board because they're doing a decent job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of questions. And us not being attorneys.
Right.
You know, it's hard for us to answer questions that we're not familiar with, you know.
Right.
And everything has got to be emailed for some reason. They will not make a phone call.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Got to have that paper for
him. Can he reach out to KLC? I mean, is there someone that could...
That was one of the things that I was going to ask.
...mentor him on these things?
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because what I would really like to do is, if it's okay with the commission, is order one of those handbooks for him. So if there's no objection, then I'll contact KLC and order and pay for one. Okay, I get them to get that over to us. Does anybody object to that?
You should probably say how much it is for the,
it's 50
for
bucks.
The record.
Yeah, it's 50 bucks. And also find out, since he is our contracted attorney, if he can also sign up for any of the classes and use us as his membership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'll ask for that. So do I hear a motion to get the Mr. DeWeese KLC handbook?
I'm in motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Malcolm. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So, I'll work on that. Okay. All right. I think that's all I had on that part. On the next thing that's on there is Crystal's area, and it has to do with that down tree. We got two of them that she's talking about. One of them's the old one that was on Queen Anne's. The other one is a new one. Dennis got stopped by somebody on the street.
We were dealing with the solicitors, and they got stopped while we were
about the tree.
Yeah, and the ambulance, what's really funny is the ambulance was down there in that area. We thought somebody had fell on somebody.
Oh. Hmm. Well, the tree between 4614 and 4615 Pulaski Court is the same issue that happened in the summer. We were going to clean it up in the summer, but I think the neighbor ended up cleaning it up because the downlands and the green space city area just disappeared. So we didn't have to worry about that. But I spoke with Harold Hall of Maximus Lawn Care, and he said, well, that's the same area, that the homeowner doesn't maintain their property behind their fence line. There's a bunch of fairly mature trees, and the limbs are hanging over their fence, so they are trimming their side so it doesn't fall in their yard, but they're not trimming the other side, so the tree gets very heavy on the side facing our green space, and because of that, they keep falling or dropping limbs into our green space area. So we're kind of...
Are they city trees?
Not technically.
Are they their trees?
Yeah, they're on private
property. They're on their property, but they're... when they fall or when they crack, in this case, the trunk has cracked up about 15 feet and it's cracked back over the easement. It could fall or it could sit there, but the tree will finally rot and it'll end up falling on somebody. The thing is, if you look at the same point that we use when a tree's in one yard and it falls into the other yard, when the issue of cleanup falls on the issue or on the person that the debris is in. Okay, so it works in the same way for us. That tree may be in their yard, but when it's fallen into a public easement. So,
do they know that's their property and their trees?
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, I think
we did a 311 thing back in the summer, so yeah, they're aware.
And that's a rental property.
then I would send it. Oh, it is. Well, I would send them a certified letter and tell them
that's kind of what
maintain your turkeys.
When I was a kid, my parents lived in a small town, you know, and if you didn't mow your grass, the city would come and do it for you and bill you. So I feel, you know, like we're not allowed to do work on private property. I feel like we should have our attorney write a letter and send that to the homeowners that are in violation of this principle and state that these trees are on your property technically. You know, your fence line does not end your property, and that these trees need to be trimmed and maintained. Otherwise, you know, give them a timeline, 30 or 60 days or something, and then otherwise we're going to do it for you, and then we're going to fill you the cost.
Mm-hmm. So, the cost should take around.
Please.
Mayor Stoneman, Commissioner Metcalf.
That's pretty gnarly looking. I mean, it looks like the woods behind my house.
Well, it's got a nice little arch. The arch is actually mostly over our easement. The tree limbs are more on the property owners of 14 and 16. So that's another, you know, thing that comes into play.
Who owns which trees?
Yeah. Who's here again is we've got about a 12 to 15 foot easement. This thing is the tree trunk is right on the property line, and it comes up at an angle. And at about 15 feet, I would estimate. Would you say about 15 feet?
Yeah.
It's not more than 20, I know that. It's cracked from a big wind we had a couple of weeks ago. And it's arched. The trunk broke, and it's just locked up there on a limb or something, and it's arched over our easement. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the bulk of the tree part is on the property owners of 14 and 16. 14 and 46, 16. And again, this is, we can try getting 311. I've been trying to catch the code enforcement officer out here. We've got a new code enforcement officer. And
does he drive a white truck?
He drives they usually drive either a Ford Explorer or one of those little escort things.
We had a white City of Louisville truck sitting on our street today.
Truck?
Pickup truck. Never saw them get out or do anything. Hmm. Didn't know why they were there.
Huh. Well, I've got his phone number, so I might call him and see if we can get together and I can take him down there and explain the situation before we go with the legal route, because they did write up that address the last time it come down. Mm-hmm. Okay? So
I think with the certified letter, you're just pretty much telling them that we're making you aware these trees are in bad shape, it's on your property, and we're not going to be responsible for them.
Well, and if it's a rental, too, you need to find out and send it to the landlord, not the tenant. The tenant's not going to do anything.
One of those rentals that always got the address. They've never registered it.
Oh, so you don't know who the landlord is?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we've got, out of the 135 plus that we had as rental properties, we've got about half of them registered, and that's it.
Well, who do we mail the property tax bill?
Well, that's who we would mail a letter to.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, you want to get a certified letter.
Is it the same with Queen Anne's Court?
Queen Anne's Court, that tree is technically in their property. And that limb has fallen into our easement.
Okay.
And again, it's to me, it's like one property owner's tree limbs falling into the other property owner's tree limb. Okay? But was it intentionally? I haven't looked at it real close to see if it was intentionally put across the fence. Okay? There's a difference between it falling out of the tree and the tree limbs actually fall on that side.
And they threw it over
the fence. They threw it over the fence.
Yeah.
And they were reported, but the code enforcement officer didn't walk around to the back side of the fence to check it. She will, at that time, if she got a complaint on the property, she would walk onto the property and check it. But the new guy, he did get a code enforcement violation about that couch on Queen Anne's. Okay, he wrote it up. He also wrote up the expired tag on the vehicle, but he did not check the rest of the property. So I think what I'm gonna do. His phone number is on the violation, so I think I'm gonna make a personal call to him and see if we can't get together and talk about what
they just something.
And if we are. If it does go to where we clean it up, I mean, my recommendation is we just cut all the trees as far to the ground as we can. And,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
We're good for 10 years or more.
It would be just wise because that tree is obviously weak to start with, probably from carpenter ants or something, because of the way it broke.
But, yeah, not just the one that broke, all of them.
What kind of trees are
all of them.
Ones that grow leaves.
Right, but I mean, are they like...
I have no idea. I'm not a tree person.
Yeah, they look like the skinny, tall trees behind my house.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. Harold mentions cherry trees and locust trees a lot.
Yeah,
so it's possible it could be one of those. I can't remember what he said in the summer.
Locust tree is pretty sturdy, so... I mean, locust wood is hard.
Yeah.
Cherry tree is hard, too.
Yeah. He offered, by the way, that we can call him if we want to get him on the phone and have any questions.
No, I'll call Rob and see how he would like to handle it before I start a paper tree. I don't mind starting a paper tree up there. I don't want to send them down.
It'll just be a letter and then it's hard to sign. He wouldn't do it for us, but I guess because of the manning. I don't know. But I'm planning on doing it.
Well, that's all. Is there anything else you want to add to that, Commissioner Adams?
That's pretty much all I had in my commissioner report on that. Just that, you know, we can't work on private property. You know, we got to find a way around that so that way we can take care of this.
Does that show, does my picture, I know we've got printed or well, does it show how it's arched? Let me look at it. Does it show how it's arched over the easement? So that would be hard to explain, you know.
I mean, that part looks like...
I think this is the one I'm talking about. See right here? This is arch. You can actually walk under that pretty easily. There's nothing in there. It's all clear. It'd be a great place to make a camp if I was a kid.
Make some tents.
Yeah.
We did that.
But I've got those pictures, and we might do is go down there and take another picture where I can show where it's arched over our easement.
Yeah.
And get it to Rob.
Yeah, I work till 6, so it's dark.
I know.
When I get home, so I didn't have time to run over there tonight.
That's all right. Mayor Bob doesn't really mind doing work.
Thank you for taking the pictures for me, so I can.
It is hard when it's dark by 5:30.
Well, it's hard for, you know, first off.
I mean, it's good for the street lights, but it's hard to go look at anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're a team. We're not individual. And as long as, you know, I feel like as long as we're sharing each other workload, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm retired. I ain't got anything worth better doing. And it really is helping the community that we live in. We are getting compliments. We're getting compliments from the long-term residents who are really happy that finally something's being done in this city. You know, for so long it was hit and miss. We still have some people that never had their emails answered from years ago.
I do have a suggestion too. I mean, I'm sure it's on the city website, but maybe you could put it on that main crawl part about trees that are behind your fence line, a certain amount of feet or whatever are your responsibility to maintain. Because people that move in don't necessarily know that. I didn't know that when I moved in. I didn't know that for years.
I'm trying to remember where that's posted at, but I'll make sure it gets posted. Right now, everybody needs to know this, so start passing the word. Solicitors in our neighborhood is a violation of our ordinance. The ordinance is on the website. It's the second one on our posted ordinances. Here's what Dennis and I ran into the day that we took the pictures of the tree. There was two people out here in the city of Worthington Hills that had the little lanterns on with the little name tag. It said AT&T, but it didn't look like an AT&T name tag. Okay. We did call the police. The police did come out. LMPD doesn't necessarily know anything. Okay. The two individuals did not have solicitor tags from Jefferson County, because that's usually what I catch them on. All they had was these name tags from supposedly AT&T. And one of them was carrying a little item about that long, about that wide, and on a shoulder harness, you know, a shoulder strap. Well, I happened to be reading the news the next day. Come to find out, there are people that are running around to different houses at night with these things, and they're catching car bombs frequencies, and they're opening the cars without having to go into the house. And then the other guy's got one of those little, was it OBC? The little thing that plugs into the little plug that's underneath your dash there,
and then
bypassing the security and starting the car, and it's gone. This is all being done in under a minute.
Yeah, another thing that we don't agree on this, the age group of these two people is the same age group as the people that are breaking in the cars.
Now, these two were late. They were 19 or early 20s, and they were completely just ignored. I tried to offer them a copy of the ordinance. He wouldn't take it. He was derogatory, not to the point that he was nasty cussing at me.
He wasn't him when he left.
Yeah, he just ignored it. And when the police officer did show up, he didn't ask for any identification from these two. He just read my ordinance, or our ordinance, and then turned around and advised them, the ordinance says you can't be out here. That was it. Technically, he could have run them in for not having the solicitor tag from Jefferson County, but he doesn't. They don't know the rules. Okay? My most important fact that I'm trying to get at here is they may look innocent, but they could be collecting the information for your Wi-Fi or even your garage door opener.
We watched them for quite a while before the police got there, and they continued to walk, and we kept easing up the street, which irritated them, but we didn't see them go go up to anybody's door or anything, and they just leave, walk way up the street before they decide to leave the neighborhood.
Yeah. And those car bombs.
He did stand between some cars before I got
there. I was at the end. I come around looking for him because we got the report, thanks to Mr. Jimbo back there.
Jim for being proactive.
Lancaster. Yeah, he's the one that called, and it took me about 10-15 minutes to find him. They found him on a cul-de-sac, which they were, the one was standing at the very, out on the street, and as I approached and got out, the other one came out from between the parked cars. So I'm talking, this particular resident has like four cars parked in it. Okay? So, again, I'm just trying to get the people to know. It's posted on the website. It's very important to realize all this stuff. Car bombs, garage door openers, I can't, you know, your Wi-Fi, it all has a frequency.
Yeah, right now Spectre was telling me I've had some kind of weird interruption. That is what's going on with my phone. They can't figure out what it is. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah, and
they told me to call an electrician. I'm like, I just can't with you people. You know?
And the way, if this is hooked into a laptop, because I went on eBay to find out what these things cost. They're nickel dime stuff. And they connect into a laptop. And basically, it's just a matter of, they could have already an app or a program that not only catches the frequency, but catches their GPS location.
Yeah.
So they can walk around all day long, as innocent looking as it may be, and the next morning you could end up finding your car not out in your driveway. And nobody would be the wiser. So that's the last new business I had that wasn't posted. So
I have one thing to say about AT&T Fiber, but it's not really City of Worthington Hills related totally. But on December 29th, our Wi-Fi went out at our house, and we called a technician, and they had to roll a technician because it wasn't the router or modem or anything like that. They rolled a technician out, and the technician reported back to us that the technician, there was somebody else in Worthington Hills that was out on the 29th, and some technician came, and they just decided, oh, this connection's broken. I'm just going to unplug Crystal's and just plug it in over here and get this person going. And so they unplugged my working connection from the, I think it's called the D-Mark. It's where it comes in. They said it was about 4,000 feet away from my house. So they unplugged my working connection and plugged it in to fix somebody else.
It's up there where that big box is.
Yeah.
So when that happened, did your internet go completely out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my boyfriend works from home, so he, called and, did all the troubleshooting and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, the technician ended up coming on Saturday. I believe Saturday was December 30th. And that's what he told us. He was like, instead of fixing this little connector clip thing, the other technician just unplugged yours and plugged it in. So I went ahead and fixed the clip thing and plugged you all back in. And so I was not too happy about that. I called AT&T Fiber and I said, you don't need to have people working for you like that. So, but they didn't do anything. I mean, they told me there was an outage. They misunderstood. They called me back several days in a row telling me, that they needed to run service back to my house, run a technician, is my issue fixed, all these things. Like, they thought I was still out, and I told them numerous times, I am fine. My technician is fine. I want the guy that was out here on December 29th that unplugged my Wi-Fi at the D-Mark fired, but I don't think they did.
Well, again,
but I
that equipment is accessible to anybody.
Yeah, I do encourage any citizens of Worthington Hills that do have an outage or an issue with AT&T or Spectrum to call
Spectrum
and ask for a credit, because they will credit
you. I did, and $2.40
Yeah.
For a month, but it's been longer than that now.
I got a little
bit of
policy.
It's happening again.
Yeah, they ended up giving me, they said the max they could give me was 10, but they doubled it and made it 20 since it was totally on them. I was like, yeah, pull that guy's report that just came out to my house. It's totally your fault.
Terrible. Yeah, this is what we get now, though. It is.
Keep in mind, you're dealing with, well, I just got to show up for work. Okay.
What?
I just am showing up to work.
Yeah, yeah.
To collect my paycheck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very low initiative.
It's unfortunately, there's the 90% that are the majority like that, and it's the 10% that go a bit above the yard. Okay. So we're dealing with that. We've been dealing with that for years. But now with the technology, it's just gotten worse. So, all right. Is there anything else for new business?
I have something.
Okay.
We noticed the other day that there's a curb at the corner of Lunenburg and Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just on one corner. Why is that there?
A curb. Oh.
A previous mayor lived in one of those houses and wanted the curb there so she could park on the street. That's what I was told.
Okay. Who was the previous mayor?
How
long has it been
there? Oh, it's been there for a long time.
They put those in around the same time they put the white fence in.
Okay.
I think
right. That's why there's two speed humps on that.
Creaky or something? That, is that right?
I don't know if it was her or not, but there's two speed humps in that particular area.
Okay.
Okay. And that's and again, I'll go back to at one point in time, there was two commissioners married and they lived in one of the houses on one street, and the mayor and another commissioner lived on the other side of the street down the way. So we'll stop at that.
Thank you.
I don't know when the curbs were put in, but why they have two speed humps in Halifax right there is beyond me. Anyhow, all right. Anything else for new business? Okay, if not, commissioner report. Who wants to be first?
I'll go first.
Okay, Commissioner Muffin, go ahead.
2024 January 1-2, I drove the city for the street light check. 112 Tate Mason reported street light flickering out at Lunenburg Court and Lunenburg Drive, although when I went by there on the 14th it was on. So I still reported it today.
Thank you.
And then 114, I drove the city for street light check. Street light out at 12009 Bay Run Drive. A light flickering on and off at 11911 Tazewell Drive. And the light shade crooked behind the dumpster at 11921 Tazewell Drive. And then 116 today, I reported the street lights to LG&E. Attended the meeting, read emails, and will participate in the radio check.
That one is at Lunenburg Court and Lunenburg Drive?
Yeah.
Did you have your brights on?
No, I
not
never.
That's the reason why you're not seeing it, because when I drive the city and have my brights on,
uh-huh,
when I start up that hill, that light goes out.
Okay, well, I'll have to make sure that... because I'll probably do a street light check here in the next week or so to take special notice, because maybe if they put one in, it'll do it again. I don't know.
That's a sensor.
Well, it's a photo sensor.
Yeah, the photo sensor could be facing that direction or it could be going bad.
Yeah, well, the one at 11911 is going bad because it's not, it's very dim when it was flickering on and off.
What's that lamp that's at the end of the drive there in front of Linda's section of the car?
That one does the same thing. It's it, and then sometimes it just is out.
Yeah.
But
I don't even drive up there.
and I'll go past it, it'll be out.
Yeah, I had a guy tell me in that very last building back there that the kids, there were teenagers messing with those lights, shaking them and stuff, so I don't know if they've done that to some and done some internal damage, I don't know, and I don't know, you know.
Don't touch light poles or the graphite.
If the kids are even from church condos, I don't know.
Somebody's going to get electrocuted because
they are, or they're going to tip that glass shade over. Right. I mean, if it can tilt like it's doing, why wouldn't it fall off? They're going to get hit in the head with it or something.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your report. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Go ahead.
My report is December 20th to January 16th. I'll participate in the radio checks with Commissioner Metcalf and everyone tonight, January 16th. There weren't any citizen concerns or issues this month. I visited the new location for the 2024 city meetings, 9408 Blossom Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40241. On December 21st, I informed Mayor Stone that I was having my furnace repaired and not replaced. No HVAC permit is necessary for a furnace repair. On January 6th, I was contacted via email by Mayor Stone. I got some tree limbs down in Green Space between 4614 and 4616 Pulaski Court. Mayor Stone requested that I let Maximus Lawn Care know so we could get it cleaned up. Mayor Stone and Commissioner Metcalf placed caution tape around the downed limbs in the area. On January 7th, I had a conversation with Harold Hall of Maximus Lawn Care about the tree limbs down. Harold stated that this is the same issue we had in the summer. The trees are on private property. The homeowner is trimming the side that is inside his or her yard, but they are not trimming the other side of the tree or maintaining the area behind their fence. This is causing the trees to grow in an uneven fashion and become top-heavy on one side and fall or drop limbs into the city green space. Harold requested that I advise Mayor Stone that the trees are on private property and this will continue to be an issue every few months. Sent Mayor Stone an email and he put this topic on the agenda for tonight's meeting. And that's it.
Okay. All right, Commissioner Metcalf, go with the safety report.
Commissioner's report 116-24. Conduct radio checks after last city meeting. We'll conduct radio checks after tonight's using channel 4. Went to Pulse Office from Mayor Stone each Friday except for 112-24. Went to Dan Small's office and storage area with Mayor Stone on one occasion. On 1-6-24, received a call from Mayor Stone that he had two solicitors in the neighborhood on Bay Run Drive. When I arrived, Mayor Stone had followed them to Northumberland Drive. When he requested they leave the city, they refused and were verbally abusive. The mayor called LMPD. The officer finally requested they leave, which they did, but they continued to make inappropriate remarks. On 1-6-24, the mayor called me, informed me that an individual stole approximately $25,000 worth of jewelry from a home on Ludenberg Drive. I called Detective Mason to let him know. On 1-13-24, received a call from Detective Tate Mason that a gun had been stolen from a house on Rustburg Place. And one of the residents of the home, he was roughed up by the perpetrator. I gave out parking permits to these addresses, 12-30-23 at 4810 Middlesex Drive, 1-6-24 at 3821 Northumberland Drive, and on 1-9-24 3902 Northumberland Drive. And that's the end of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Were these crimes, were they the perpetrators, did they know them?
No, I'll explain it. I don't know how to write it all in there, but the one with on Rustburg Place, he met somebody online in an attempt to sell a handgun. And he makes a deal with the guy, and the guy comes to his house at 2:30 in the morning, beats the hell out of him, and takes the gun.
Well, what was it, an expensive collector's gun? I mean,
that's why when you sell stuff, you always meet in a public location.
Yeah. A decent time of day.
I mean, you don't want to meet at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
What about the jewelry?
An individual met somebody online and invited them to live with them. And he just helped himself and left.
Goodness gracious.
Wow. That particular individual also had a felony record.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. So.
All right.
Fortunate.
I don't have any closing remarks tonight. So, I was thinking about it, but I got so busy the last 4 days, it can wait. So, with that, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Melton. And the time is 19:50, which is 7:50 p.m.